I want to encourage you this morning. Please do not think that it is only the odd one or two people that God desires to use. As Christians, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. And I want you to know this. There is not one member of the body of Christ that is redundant, that does not have a specific purpose and a role to play. And you look at your body and you think, well, maybe I could live without my little finger. Well, you go ahead and try it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Every part of the body is essential. And I want to say this to each one of us. Let us rise up to where God has purposed us to be. Let us step into all that God has called us to be as individuals and as a church. Let us not listen to the lies of the enemy who would say to us, oh, just sit down, be quiet, you're insignificant, you're not really essential. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. And it would give God no greater glory than to see each one of his children rising up and taking that place that God has got for them. Can I hear someone give me an amen for that? Now I'm going to be watching you to make sure that happens. Praise God. It's so good, though. So good to be back. And I have a word which I believe God has given to me to share with you this morning. Oh, by the way, before we get into that, a little secret. Is he still here? Your husband. Pastor Jack is actually here today. Yeah? He arrived on a flight early this morning, and he's kind of snuck in the back there a little bit. Listen, you only have 3 weeks to meet with Pastor Jack and Jenny. I would mob them in a nice, loving Christian way. Some of you don't know who they are. Get to know them. Talk to them. Learn from them. Join hearts with them. If you want to know what is really happening out there in the Himalayas, in Nepal, touch base with them. Say, do you drink coffee, Pastor Jack, Jenny? I'll take you out to coffee. They're going to be sick of coffee by the time they leave. But I'm serious. Take that time to connect with them and really join hearts with them whilst they're here for these next 3 weeks. So our message today, did you get sermon notes as you came in? If you didn't, please wave at us and we'll make sure that you get some. Our message today is the old has gone. The old has gone. I know the very first week that Young Ho was preaching here, he made reference to me and to my age. I'm not going to bring that up. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the old that we're referring to. You see, with podcasts, you can't get away with anything. There's a verse in the Bible which I hope you fall in love with from today onwards if you haven't done so already. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. You say, I don't know what it means to be in Christ. Well, go onto the website, listen to the podcasts that are called In Christ, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. If anyone loves the Lord Jesus Christ, if anyone is a follower of him, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that is what I'd love for us to look at today. It's a one-off standalone sermon, but I believe if we will open our hearts, God will bring liberty and freedom into our lives in a way which perhaps we have not yet experienced. The Bible gives us a detailed record of a time when Jesus was actually bodily walking on this earth. He was close to a place called Jericho, and he and his disciples and the multitude of followers were leaving this place called Jericho, and they came across a man called Bartimaeus. And you read about this story in Luke chapter 18, or as we're going to do this morning, Mark chapter 10. And the Bible says that there was something very significant about this man, Bartimaeus. He was blind, and he was a beggar. He was blind and he was a beggar. The blindness speaks to us of the consequence of sin being in this world. Now, I didn't say Bartimaeus was blind because he had sinned. That isn't what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is this, that sin is present in this world. It is something which every single human being is born in. We have a sinful nature. That's how we're born. And as a result of sin being in this world, so every human being experiences things like lack and sickness, diseases. They experience things like oppression and depression. And this man, Bartimaeus, was no exception. He was blind. And because he was blind, he was begging. You see, his blindness caused him to become dependent upon others. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn his keep. And so he would beg. And my friends, here is a really important lesson. We may think that sin isn't as bad as Pastor John makes it out to be. But sin, when we entertain it in our hearts and we refuse to let God deal with it, will always cause us to become dependent on something else or someone else. Think about it. If you're a person who suffers, let's say, from a low self-esteem, you don't like yourself. You wish you were different. You wish you were like somebody else. You're the sort of person that always needs somebody to tell you how great you are. And yet, you don't really believe them. If you, like Bartimaeus, are sick in such a way that you cannot work, you're dependent on other people for your keep, for your survival. If you're a person who suffers with anger issues, on one hand, you're a person that wishes you didn't get angry. But on the other hand, you also feel lost if you're not angry. You've become dependent. And Bartimaeus was like that. He was dependent on people's generosity to put money into his collecting cup in order for him to buy food. Let's go through the story. The Bible says that he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. What had he heard? He had heard that Jesus was healing people. The Bible says that God was with Jesus. The Holy Spirit was empowering him, and everywhere he went, he was setting people free from those who were oppressed by the devil. I want to tell you this morning, my friends, Jesus hasn't changed. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Jesus is still the same. If we will believe in him, he will still set us free. Can people see that in your life? Are you a reflection, a true reflection? Are you a true representation of who Jesus is? You are the body. I am the body of Christ. When you go to your workplace, and when you move around your apartment where you live, and when you go to the stores and you travel on the public transport, are people able to look at you and see Jesus, to see who God really is and what he's like? It's a challenging question, isn't it? A friend of mine was in the city of London once, and he had parked where he shouldn't park. And a very kind, uniformed man had come and stuck a ticket on his window. He's such a generous man to give these away. And then this other man in another uniform had come with his tow truck, and he had towed his car away. Obviously, it was in a place where it was going to get stolen or be smashed into. So these kind people have taken them away. And it cost him a lot of money to get it back. And as my friend was looking and trying to work out what had happened, there was this man. He was sitting across the street, and he pointed to my friend and said, "Look, there's Jesus." Wow. And my friend said, after he had told us, he didn't feel much like Jesus at that time. He felt like doing some un-Jesus-like things to the people that had taken his car away. But can people, if they're looking for Jesus, can they find him in you and I as he really is? We are a true representation of him. And Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus, and he believed that what Jesus was doing for other people, Jesus would do for him, because he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, Bartimaeus, he may not have been educated or learned, but he realized this, that he needed the mercy of God. My friends, we should not go to God and say, "God, I deserve this from you." But we should say, "Lord, have mercy on me. I don't deserve your favor. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your kindness. Lord, have mercy on me." And the people around Bartimaeus said, "Shh, don't make so much noise." Maybe they thought Jesus was not interested in him. But Bartimaeus, he cried even louder. My friends, when you in your heart know that there is a need in your life, and you know that only Jesus can meet that, there will be nothing that stands in your way. And I would say it like this: do not let anything stand in your way. If you're sick and you know in your heart that God will heal you, and you talk to another person and they say, "Don't believe in that healing rubbish. It was true in Bible times, but it doesn't happen now." My friends, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Cry even louder. If your marriage is on the brink of destruction, and you believe in your heart that God can not only rescue it, but that he can give you the most beautiful marriage in the world, and you sit down and you talk with somebody, and that somebody says, "You know, what we're talking about here is just managing the issues. You'll never really be fully reconciled with your spouse. It will always be a delicate situation, and you will have to walk on eggshells with this person for the rest of your life." Say, "I don't believe you. I believe that God can heal me." If you're suffering from depression and you go to an expert who says, "Let me give you something which manages it," say, "No, thank you. I'm going to go to the person who's going to heal me." Cry even louder. Let that conviction of who Jesus really is be stirred up in your heart. Look what happened. Jesus heard his heart's cry. Jesus stood still and he called for Bartimaeus, and he called him to come to him. My friends, Jesus will do that for you. Now, this is the bit that I want us to get to. Can you see the picture? Can you picture what's happening? Here is a blind man. He has been begging, and everybody knows who he is. He hears that Jesus is coming. He knows in his heart that Jesus is his only hope. And so he cries out to him, "Have mercy on me, And Jesus hears him. And he stops. And he gets people to bring Bartimaeus to him. Look at the response of Bartimaeus. The Bible says, he threw aside his garment and he went to Jesus. Let me read it to you out of verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he went to Jesus. You see, my friends, Bartimaeus knew in his heart that Jesus was the only one who could help him. There was nobody else that could help him in the state that he was in. He had come to realize that. And when Jesus said, Bartimaeus, come here. Bartimaeus didn't sit there thinking, I wonder whether he really means it. He didn't sit there talking to himself saying, if he really knew what I was like, he wouldn't be calling me. How can this teacher, this rabbi, how can he be interested in a beggar, the lowest of low in society? And there could have been 1,000 other reasons why Bartimaeus stayed where he was. But he didn't. He threw off his garment. What does that mean? Beggars of that time wore a garment that identified them as to who they were. It wasn't a nice, trendy piece of cloth that had come from a tailor. It wasn't the latest fashion. It was a garment that spoke to people around and says, I'm a beggar. This is who I am. You don't have to ask me. You don't need to ask people around, who is he? What does he do? You just have to look at me, and what I'm wearing will identify what I am. The first thing that Bartimaeus did was to get rid of that garment. That which had up until that moment in time identified who and what he was now no longer any part of him. He discarded it. You see, Bartimaeus was not content to any longer live the way he had been living. Not now that he had met with Jesus. Not now that he had heard that there was one who could heal him. He was not willing to tolerate that life of blindness and begging any longer. And so his first reaction was to discard that which up until that moment had identified him as a blind beggar. And the Bible says he went to Jesus and immediately he was healed. Let me read you some verses. Let me read you these verses out of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Hebrews 12, verse 1. My friends, many of us are hindered. Let me explain what I mean. Many of us have come to Christ to be saved. We've experienced forgiveness of our sin, but we have not yet discarded the old garment. We're still trying to carry around with us something that used to identify who we were, but no longer does. Have you ever heard the expression, "Oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace"? Have you heard that expression? How many of you have heard that expression? I'm not asking, have you used it? Have you heard it? Yeah? That is something that needs to be discarded. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer a sinner. You're a saint. A saint is not one of those people who you see on stained glass windows with bright white halos around their heads. A saint is simply somebody who has received life in Christ Jesus and is following him. You see, if we still believe that our identity is as a sinner, we're not going to be able to run fully the race that Christ has set before us. We are constantly going to be having to say, "I can't do that for you, God, because I'm still a sinner." Oh, I still get angry with my wife because I'm still a sinner. I still get frustrated with my children because I'm a sinner. I can't love my brothers and sisters unconditionally because I'm still a sinner. It's like Bartimaeus still wearing his blind beggar's garment. Everywhere he went, instead of people saying, "Look, do you know who that is? That, I've got to tell you, is Bartimaeus, who was blind, but Jesus healed him." Instead, people would say, "Oh, there goes blind Bartimaeus. How come he doesn't use a stick anymore? How come nobody's leading him? Oh, something's happened." And that cloak, that garment, that identified what we used to be like, my friends, as those who are loving and following Jesus, we need to discard it. We need to lay it off. Let me read you these verses here out of Ephesians 4, verse 21. "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, that he is life, that he transforms us from darkness to life. He forgives us our sins. He makes us right with God. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature, your new nature, created," listen, "to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Have you read those verses lately? Ephesians is a wonderful book. If you haven't read it recently, you should. It's just 6 chapters. It's one of my favorite 66 books of the Bible. Throw off that which used to be your identity. Don't hold on to it. It no longer belongs to you. It is no longer yours. If anyone is in Christ, they are what? See, you know it. A new creature, a new creation. Paul says, "The old has gone. Behold, everything has become new." Oh, I could never love my wife in a perfect way. Why not? Well, because that's just not my nature. But you have the nature of Christ. I could never forgive my parents for what they did. Why not? But that's just not my nature. But you've been made in the likeness of God himself. You've been created to be like him. Yes, you can. I could never stand in a place of faith and believe that God could heal my body from sickness. Why not? Well, it's just not my nature. And every time we say that, we're putting on this old beggar's garment. And it hinders us. Slows us down. It prevents and it restricts us from experiencing the life that you've heard the last 2 weeks is not just in Christ, but that life which is Christ. Christ dwelling in you. I'm just somebody who gets depressed. I'm okay for a while. I'm up here and then something happens and then down I go again and my world falls apart and it feels like it's crushing me. Well, why? Well, I guess that's just how I'm made. I guess that's who I am. Maybe I'm susceptible to depression. Maybe that's just my nature. What's the answer?
Tell yourself.
No. That's not who you are. You see, Jesus is the one who sets us free from depression. We are the ones that have got to make sure that we don't keep putting that cloak back on. Jesus is the one who heals us. We have to keep making sure every time that sickness kind of comes knocking at the door, can I come back? You say, no. No. That's not who I am anymore. I have discarded that. Every time the enemy comes into your finances to try and steal, to try and bankrupt you, and that may be through an addiction that you have, it may be through bad money management, whatever it is, you have a choice whether you put that garment back on and are hindered in your walk with God or whether you make sure that that garment doesn't come anywhere near your life. You say, that's not me anymore. Maybe you're a person who has an addiction who just simply seems to be unable to say no at that crucial moment. Whether you're pressing that enter button or whether you're responding to a comment that's been said to you. And someone might say to you, why do you do that? And you say, well, that's just who I am. No, it's not. It's who you used to be. That's your old life. That was you before Christ, BC. That's not you anymore. That cloak doesn't belong to you. It doesn't fit. It doesn't become you. It doesn't identify you. The Bible says that we now are to put on different garments. Garments of righteousness. Right standing before God. Can you see the picture of Bartimaeus? Oh, if you have to close your eyes, do it and see this blind man. And here is his opportunity for not only to be healed, but for his whole life to be transformed. When Jesus said, bring him here. And he throws off that garment. As far as he is concerned, my friend, even before he's healed, the old has gone. It's time for us. Some of us have been saved and following Jesus for years, and we still keep going back to the closet, and we still keep seeing if that old garment fits. You know what I'm saying? We still go and try it on from time to time. We still allow it to have an influence on our lives. We're holding on to what Christ says has gone. If you're one who's ever found yourself doing that, you'll know it's a terrible place of torment. Paul talks about this a little bit in Romans chapter 8, that conflict between the flesh part of us that tries to live independent of God and the spirit that is alive to God. And if you read through that chapter, you'll see that at the end of that chapter, Paul goes through a list of so many things that have the potential to separate us from God and to distance us from Him. And he says, you know what? None of them. None of them in themselves have the power to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. As far as Bartimaeus was concerned, he didn't want to go back to that blind, begging life. Ask yourself this question. Do you really want to go back to what it was like before you met with Jesus? Was there life there? Was there? Was there real life there? Why would we want to go back? Bible says that Bartimaeus came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? You know, I believe, my friends, that for every one of us here today who still have things that we must let go of, garments that are not garments of righteousness, things that hold us back from experiencing the fullness of God and experiencing God glorifying Himself through us. For every one of us, I believe Jesus would stand in front of us and say, and what do you want me to do for you? What's your answer? I mean, Bartimaeus was pretty broke. He had no job. He could have said, God, well, I'd like a full-time job, please. Jesus, I'd like some money in my bank account. Master, I'd like to become accepted. Because everybody walks past and spits and curses, and I'm just a reject. He could have said any of those things. But Bartimaeus says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You see, he knew what he needed. And when Jesus says, what is it that I can do for you? Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. He says, Lord, I need my sight. Remember, Bartimaeus is not healed yet. He's still blind. But he's calling Jesus Master, Lord, my great one. And Jesus said to him in verse 52, the old is gone. He says, your faith has made you well. Another way of saying that is this, your faith has saved you. We're going to do some teaching on faith fairly soon. But faith is not a hope. It's not a wish. It's not a dream. Faith is where you know what God has said and you believe in it with all of your heart. And this was where Bartimaeus was. He had heard that Jesus was healing lame people. He had healed other blind people. He had done all sorts of different miracles. And Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the one who could set him free from his blindness and set him free from his beggarly way of living and give him true life. And Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Jesus didn't say, your good works have saved you. He didn't say, well, I know that you've been struggling to read the Bible and you haven't got Braille, and so you've had someone to read it to you, so that saved you. You haven't been distracted because you can't see, so you've prayed all the time, that saved you. No. Jesus says your faith. My friend, faith is something that God will give us. And that faith, when we activate it and we place it in God, that is what will bring into being his will. My wife and I just recently, over the last 4, 5, 6 months, have experienced miracle after miracle after miracle. Things that people on numerous occasions, officials, have said to us, it can't happen, it's not possible, you can't do it. But God had said, I will do it for you. And guess what? He did. Was it that we're so clever and smart? No, not at all. It's because God said it and we believed it and God did it. Amen. And if you're one of the people that we've been talking about this morning who are still trying to wear those garments that are no longer yours, if you will believe that God will set you free and deliver you, and you discard that garment and you come to him and you believe in him and you say, Lord, have mercy on me, deliver me from, my friend, Jesus will do that. Amen. He will do that.
Amen.
He will do it because it is his word.
Amen.
Jesus has not changed.
Amen.
He healed Bartimaeus. He healed people who were lame in the Bible. He raised people from the dead. And Jesus still does that. He still responds to people who believe in him with all of their heart. Out there in the remote areas of the Himalayas, Pastor Jack, people are getting saved. Lives are being radically transformed with the gospel. Why? Because people like Pastor Jack and Pastor Jenny and the missionaries, John and Soyon, Scott and Sarah, and others that we know of, they believe what God has said, which is if you go and you speak my word and you preach the gospel, people will be born again. And where there have never been churches, there have never been Christians, there will be. They're putting faith, not in their abilities, but in God's word. And that's why it's happening. And you may be in a place of work where you're the only Christian. Is that God's will? Absolutely not. How do you know? Because the Bible says that God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you will take that word of faith in your workplace and you'll speak the word of God with faith, people will respond in your workplace, around where you live. You say, well, I don't feel like I can preach to them. Good. It's probably the last thing they need is somebody preaching at them. But you can pray for them. And you can say, what are you doing Sunday morning? Well, I thought I might have a lie-in. Well, how about you get up early and come with me to church service? You can do that. You say, well, what if they say no? What if they say yes? And what if no one else asked them? You see, it's not all about us. We don't have to put faith in ourselves. Bartimaeus didn't put faith in his ability. It wasn't about him. If it was, he wouldn't be blind long ago. Can you hear what we're saying this morning? I want you to see as we close, it says here that immediately he received his sight. My wife loves those words, immediately. She loves those words, and suddenly it came to pass. Yeah? She often tells me that I'm the one that God gave all the patience to, and she's the instant person. We make a good combination. Now, anyhow, in the early days, it was a bit exciting. Let's wait a little while. No, let's do it now. No, we'll pray on it and fast and see what. No, let's do it now. But we've kind of mellowed and combined and God's joined us together and works well. But for Bartimaeus, and suddenly, immediately, he was healed. Man, I can't imagine what that was like. But I don't have to imagine what his next response was. Immediately he was healed, and he followed Jesus along the road. You see, this is why God wants to do these things in our lives, so that we can walk closer with him, so that we can reveal and reflect his nature to more and more people in our world. You know, let me say it this way. I was talking with my friend here, Young Ho, a few weeks ago, and he's going to tell us one day soon about a wonderful miracle that happened to him, a miracle of healing, true miracle of God. And we were talking, and Young Ho said to me, you know, it's not about me and my healing. That's not where God stops. God doesn't work in our lives just for us. There's a bigger cause. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan, a bigger purpose. My friend, it would be selfish of us to think, I'm okay. I don't really need, I can cope with this depression every now and then. And I'm not really addicted to that, you know. I could stop if I wanted to. I just don't think it's that bad. Or my wife really loves me, and I get a bit angry with her from times, but, you know, love covers a multitude of sins, and her love covers my sins, so we're okay. That's selfish. That's all about me. It's like someone saying, I don't want to go to church. I don't get nothing out of it anymore. I don't want to go to small groups. I think I don't get anything. Well, who said it was all about you anyhow? How about if there are people in that congregation or in that small group who God wants to bless through you? Huh? How about that? You see, it's not all about us. And God wants to set us free from those things which entangle us and hold us back. Amen. Yes, he does. And we live in the blessing of that. But the main reason is this: that we can follow him closer, more effectively, and that people can see clearer and clearer what Jesus Christ is really like. He hasn't changed, my friend. He still heals. He still sets us free. His spirit is as powerful today as he was when he was poured out on those people on the day of Pentecost. And I believe that God will take his word this morning, his living word, and reveal to us that the old has gone. Now, we're going to go off and have a picnic and some fun and stuff in a little while. But some of you need to go home this afternoon later on, and you need to have a funeral service. I'm serious. You need to have a burial service of some of these old garments. Don't go out and dig holes all over the apartment area. You know what I'm talking about. You need to take that sickness, that anger, that depression. You need to take that which you've been trying to wear alongside those robes of righteousness, and you need to bury them, discard them. Let them no longer be a part of who you are and who Christ has made you to be. And you need to walk in that freedom. I guarantee that God will always do his part. And to experience that old is gone, very quickly, I used to say to people concerning anger, I used to say that my anger fuse, do you know what an anger fuse is? It can take a lot to get you angry, a lot to make you snap. And I used to say to people, my fuse is so long, but you better be out of the way when it goes. That was an old garment. It was self-righteous. It was me saying, hey, I don't lose my temper as quick as you do. I can hold it all together longer than you, but watch out when it goes. It's self-righteousness. It was an old garment. It wasn't and it isn't the nature of Christ. The nature of God, we sang about it this morning. He is quick to forgive and slow to anger. That's the nature of God. Therefore, that's the nature of you and I, because we have been created in his likeness. And so I had to discard that. I went through a period of time where I said, Lord, this is no longer part of me. It's not that I'm going to get angry quick. I don't have to get angry in an unrighteous or in a sinful way at all. I took that garment off. Where is it now, John? I don't know and I don't care, because I don't want it anymore, because it doesn't glorify God. In the same way, sickness doesn't glorify God, or depression doesn't glorify God, or bitterness, or meanness, or unkindness. Those are all garments which should not be in our wardrobe, our closet. Garments of righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this true story which we have in our Bibles of this man who was blind, but Jesus healed him. Jesus set him free, changed his life, transformed him. And this man, Bartimaeus, effectively said, I want nothing to do with my past life. That is who I used to be. That is not who I am. Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts the truth of God and his word. Father God, fill our hearts with faith to believe. And I believe that God would speak to some people here this morning, especially those who for many, many years have been wearing these garments that no longer are part of our wardrobe. And to get rid of them seems like chopping a leg off or an arm off, because it still feels like that's who we are. And God would say to you, trust me. Trust my word. And Father, I thank you that you bring freedom into our hearts and our whole lives, that you transform us, that every day, day after day, we're becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ himself, as your Holy Spirit lives that eternal life through us. Father, we praise you for your amazing love and goodness to us. In Jesus' name.